Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Hey, we have a little technical difficulties tonight, folks, so I'm so sorry. But finally, we have our guest still with us here tonight, and I just wanted to welcome you, Sage. Welcome to the show, and I'm so sorry for the challenges what we were facing right now here.
Thank you, Magdalena. It's always nice to be with you.
Thank you. Well, listen, talking about relationships tonight starts with a communication. How about this?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, before we start with the interview, I just wanted to let you know if you have any questions for us tonight, you can call in at 1-888-627-6008. Well, okay, let's take a deep breath and let's, you know, continue this show with actually the topic for tonight. It will be about relationships, and I actually chose you, Sage, because you are actually working in a transformational field and healing, and you have your own power living retreats that is actually working with the body, mind, and spirit. And you have over 35 years of experience, and you are a perfect match for that. And I'm sure we will have a lot of information to share here. So welcome tonight.
Thank you.
Yes. So how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm relating. You and I always have interesting conversations, and you're right. It is about communication.
Exactly. It's on
many levels.
Exactly. Thank you. So it was actually a perfect starting for tonight.
Well, yeah, not being able to get through, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what is very interesting, actually, that this topic relationship just kind of brewing in the last few months. I think since March, we are kind of, you know, going through this, you know, what's really going on and watching the energies and stuff. And I decided, you know, I said to you, let's do something about, you know, relationships in the age of change and in the 21st century. And the reason why I actually was looking forward to talk about that, because when we are taking the spiritual journey, and especially right now we are dealing with so many, you know, shifts, and we are in this, people are talking paradigm shifts and it's shift of ages. That is actually hugely impacting us, but also, you know, how we are relating with others, you know, our partners, family, children, in society. So I thought, you know, that would be actually a great way to kind of share between you and me. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think it's a great topic because it's a collective topic. It's something that's affecting the world. It's something that I hear every day, all day long, in many different walks of life, in many different cultures. So it's not just a subject that's affecting people who are on what you call the spiritual journey. It's hard for me to separate that, you know.
Yeah, but it's actually a little extra. You know what I'm saying? When you're dealing with the normal other challenges, it's actually more accepted in the society. But when you're taking the spiritual journey, it's almost all of a sudden you're put it on the side.
Yeah, I guess what I'm hearing you say is like there's an awareness about your life.
Yes.
When you say spiritual journey. Yeah.
You're
more conscious about all these little communication and relating things that most people aren't even thinking or aware about. So, okay, I understand what you mean.
You know, that also, you know, especially because, you know, in the past, we were not so impacted by the technology and computers. Today, we are in this fast track world, and, you know, to keep up with everything, it puts an enormous stress on us.
You said enormous stress.
And enormous stress. It's a huge stress.
Like, what do you mean specifically? Like pressure? Because you're speaking about the internet and, you know, the technical age. What specifically are you speaking about in terms of stress of that?
Well, everything is impacting us. You know, in the past, you know, you could actually sit back and you know, you were not put under so much pressure with the technology. Today, you have to achieve so many things. We are under the time pressure. You have to, achieve your goals and everything else. So what it really does, there's too little to be able to stay connected to your own core.
Yeah, I was actually, when you made that statement, I was taking it in the direction of, because things have sped up so much, there's...
Also, yes. Also, yes.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That there's very... People are having... I remember when I took computer class way back in the day, you know, when they were just coming out, that they made a statement that, you know, in the year 2000, blah, 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 because of computers and because of the technical age, you're going to have so much time on your hands because, you know, it's going to free you up from so many things in life that you'll be able to do what you want to do. And what I'm realizing is not only did that not happen, it's created more stress, as you said, to keep up with things. And people are listening less. People have less listening abilities because of being all over the place trying to be multitasking and, you know, up on everything that they possibly can be up on and achieving this and achieving that. So I hear you, and I think that that has a great amount to do with the way that communication is going and relationships and relating. Now, I'm not blaming technology on that.
No, I totally understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I'm saying is there's something about that that is taking us away from the true self space and more into the field of artificial intelligence, which can really impact humans on a big level.
Yeah, it was kind of very interesting today that I came today about two articles today. That number one is about, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, about the microchipping to our children in, sooner than later. And another one was about students were fooled about the robot in thinking it was a teacher. So, yeah, as such, we are, you know, when we are dealing with all these, you know, technologies, we are actually dealing with, you know, internal stress also, and that is impacting, you know, the connection to our true self also. I'm sure you actually recognize when you are dealing with the healing, when you're working with your clients.
Yes, absolutely. And even myself being disconnected or trying to mm-hmm. get into the call can be very stressful. It's interesting to me that the conversations we've been having about relating and communication and the way that the world is gone, I feel that I'm pausing for a second because we're talking about technology, but what I'm hearing is more than anything is about communication. For many reasons, we've gotten to a place where it's extremely challenging to hear others. And I intuitively feel that a big part of that is because it's a challenge to hear ourselves, because everything's gotten so loud in our heads.
Too much noise.
Yeah, too much noise, too much frequency in the noise arena. And
this is exactly what I was thinking when I said, you know, before the computer, we had a little, actually, we had less noise.
Yeah,
that's one of yes.
Yeah,
and that was more. You know, you had a little more time to kind of connect internally.
Absolutely, one of the things that I see constantly in sessions with people is how much people are in their minds and they can't get out. A lot of people aren't sleeping. A lot of people are constantly talking about not being able to shut their minds down. And it's very interesting to me because, you know, lots of people are practicing the art of meditation. But then what I'm seeing is that lots of people have a difficult time even being in the space of meditation because of so much noise. And it's internal. And a lot of it comes to surface because there's less of a natural connection. And when I talk about artificial intelligence, there's more of a connection to that noise now than there is to nature and a natural way of being. And, you know, we won't get into my natural way of living, Magdalena, tonight. for many reasons. But I really feel that when people stop touching their feet to the earth and stop being connected to the essence of what really keeps us focused, what really keeps us on the internal spiritual journey, we start to lose ourselves to our minds. And so what we're taking in and what we're focused on and how we're participating in relationships and communicating are basically taking over how we're functioning on a higher or lower level of beingness.
Mm. Well, you know, that's why we were talking, when we were talking, you know, how crucial is actually, you know, to start with the what's that?
I said, you're listening. Yeah. I heard the big,
Yeah, you know, that the point was, you know, relation, you know, how crucial it is that to have the relationship start with ourselves.
Yes. And, you know, after so many years, myself in this, on this spiritual journey and being a healer and channeling and walking this journey, I've never seen a time in my history of this process of the amount of difficulty and challenges that relationships from all walks of life are showing up for many people, and including myself, and finding that we have to restructure how we're being and doing in relationships.
This is exactly what was the whole, you know, intention, you know, for tonight, you know, to actually talk about that. And, you know, help people to recognize that, you know, you are not crazy and you are not going nuts or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with you. It's normal. It's part of this journey, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a part of the energetic times. I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of people speaking about the amount of challenges that are coming up for them. And you and I have talked about this before, and you know, you've questioned me about this. I constantly talk about the path of purge or the path of healing. And you're like, what is this purge? What is this purge? And when, you know, I've been channeled this message about being, when we allow ourselves to constantly be on the path of purge, we experience life as extremely challenging and extremely difficult and stressful. And does that mean we can't deal with anyone? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that. But, you know, I thought of the analogy of our physiological terrain, you know, biological terrain. We have body functions. You know, every day we excrete on some level, you know. Mm-hmm. We go to the bathroom, we release. We release through the liver, we release through the sweat glands. Our body is an automatic, you know, it's an automatic in terms of a purge. But is it painful? No, absolutely not. Most of the time we don't even, it's like, oh, it's time to go to the bathroom. We don't see that. as a painful experience because we allow that purge to just come through, unless you have a serious health issue. And even at that point, you start to look for ways to soothe yourself and make the situation better. And what I'm experiencing on a personal level and also with other people is that we can do that on a spiritual level. We can purge in a way that we're not feeling the pain body all the time. We're not suffering through each release. And when we start to see the gifts in the purge, which is about the healing, when we look at the direction that the purge is taking us to, which is healing, mm-hmm. we start to go, that's happening for me. Now let me look at how I'm supposed to be with this versus jumping into your dysfunctions of the purge. So when we talk about that, Magdalena, that's the essence of what I mean when I speak about the purge, about being with the healing of the challenges of release versus the dysfunction of the release.
Yeah, but also, you know, Sage, to do that, we also need to, you know, connect with our emotional body and also to be willing to respect our pain body and, you know, go into the pain body too.
Absolutely. We can't do anything without the emotional mm-hmm. body. You know, yeah. it's there. It's there with or without our consciousness about it. It's, you know, it has its releases. We're going to feel regardless. We're going to feel that. But I also know that a lot of people are escaping those feelings through addictions mm-hmm. and through all kinds of adjustments. I don't know what the word is. You can help me out with that word, your word person. But I do know that lots of people at this point in life don't really like feeling their feelings. What's your experience in dealing with a lot of the clients?
Well, you know, I mean, I came to understand, and it's not actually only me, but I'm recognizing many other peoples who are actually, you know, doing a deeper work. They are all saying that, you know, we as a humanity, we are very intellectual, but we are very immature emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, because we are kind of constantly moving into this intellectual body, you know, and leaving our emotional body behind. That's what you are so beautifully saying when you are using the word purge. You know, then all of a sudden we are catching up actually with our emotional body, what we left somewhere, you know, behind. And now it becomes too much because there's too much accumulation of stuff that needed to be taken care of.
Yeah, and I think for me as a person that's really committed to a spiritual practice is what I've observed and experienced personally in that connection is the lack of sacred in the world now, the lack of connection to the spiritual essence of ourselves, which ultimately, you know, keeps us in that arena of the intellect more mm-hmm. than the balance of the emotional body.
You know, I mean, you know, yes, it could be, you know, a lack of sacred or, you know, depends how you are, you know, looking. And I totally, you know, agree with that. But what I'm saying also with it is that that when we are not in the balance of our, you know, if you are not really taking care about our body, of our mind, our emotion, or our spiritual aspect, we are creating this disharmony on the some level, and it will sooner or later it will actually show up.
Well, I agree 100% because I think when you talk about the intellect, what most people have paid homage to is that peace. And when, you know, when we talk about mind, body, and spirit, it really is about that oneness. And if we're leaving any one of those things behind, we end up being more focused in the pain body experience than we are the higher spiritual essence of blending those elements so that there's more wholeness and more sacredness in terms of our true self nature and the rest of humanity and basically universal laws. So when I speak about sacred, I'm talking about paying homage to a very critical part of who we are as a mind, body, and spirit. And I think what's interesting today is that we are finding that it is more of a challenge to try to do it without your spirit involved. And that's the piece I'm speaking about, that most people are still operating on the level of body physicality. And I'm seeing on an energetic level that there's an incredible integration time going on. And I think that's why the energies have hyped up into...
Oh, you know, but we were using the word, I think, collision of worlds. Yes. I remember that.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because that was an interesting
Yes, absolutely.
Topic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Will you share what your thoughts from an astrological point of view about the collision of the two worlds? No, because that was very, that, you know, I get things through my intuition and channeling, but it's very interesting to hear you confirm that on an astrological level. And in terms of that collision of two worlds, you said something very beautiful about that. So would you share
it? Well, thank you. Well, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, when I was talking to you about things that actually what I came to, I understand maybe a few years ago, maybe 2008, before I moved down here, I realized there was this absolutely incredible, it's almost looked like two worlds just collided, and I could not figure out, and you know, what's really going on. And so I mean, you doing astrology for over 15 years, and I started to pay closer attention to that. And I was sharing this with my other friend, and I was telling her, you know, I'm feeling it look like two worlds are colliding. And she said, oh my God, don't say that, because that's not good. I said, well, I'm sorry, it's just happening. You know, but then I started to actually go in a much deeper, and I realized that a lot of the time what is happening is that we are actually, you know, right now in the shift of the ages between Pisces into Aquarius. That's a huge shift, because, you know, Pisces, age of Pisces has a completely different characteristic as the age of the Aquarius. But also, actually, we were actually talking on the weekend about this different generations. We are dealing with a lot of, you know, different generations. And, you know, what it really brought the attention to me is that where the Pluto is, and you and I, we were talking about that we are a baby boomer generation. I'm sorry, you know, to bring on the air, you know.
We are.
But we
we're
are.
The, we're, the, we're at the younger years of the baby.
Yes. Listen, you know what? I'm actually pretty proud about that. But what I share with you is that what it became clear to me, because my parents, they are a generation where the Pluto was in Cancer. And they were very protective. They were very much family-oriented. And the baby boomer are actually a generation with the Pluto in Leo. And the Pluto in Leo to me is that, you know, finding yourself, expressing yourself. But remember, we are talking about, you know, this rock and roll generation. But what that means also is that, you know, we kind of create this breakthrough to free ourselves from the, you know, this restriction of our parents. But what it also created, that created actually challenge for our children. you know, because what that really happened is we became so outspoken, you know, in trying to change, to make a difference in the world. And all of a sudden, you know, our children ended up not having the voice, or they, at least they were thinking they don't have a voice. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that was, you know, and I think what is really happening, you know, in these, different generations, what we are experiencing is that, you know, on one level, I'm actually frustrated because they are saying, well, you know, the baby boomer left to the millennials or a Generation X, we left them a lot of debt and stuff. No, that's not what I believe it is. It's more political issue. It's not necessarily the generation issue, you know, what we did, you know, because look at how much the baby boomer are trying actually, you know, do so many good stuff, but we are getting also actually under some level suppressed, you know, so many things you cannot, you know, bring to the fruition because there are so much rules and regulations. Yeah. And so practically every generation has a challenge. But I think, look, like we started tonight, the communication is the key.
Absolutely. I'm going to say something in terms of the health arena that
yes,
I'm
absolutely.
In. Because it, when you talk about the three generations, you know, today they're saying, the medical industry is saying that people are because of medical improvements and, you know, and hygiene and all kinds of things, that people are going to be living longer. But what my experience is, in terms of working with people health-wise, it's our parents' generation that's living into their 90s and 100s, mm-hmm. because they've kind of had the benefit of both worlds. You know, the old ways of living with not too many chemicals and preservatives and, you know, all the technology and the things that were being bombarded.
Just look at the word, health industry.
Yes.
And sorry.
So I'm seeing that these people are living longer, but I'm also seeing that the younger people are having many health issues that we didn't even think about. At that age, because of the amount of stress and the bombardment of toxins and pollution. And then you've got our age group who are, you know, in a lot of people are into plastic surgery or keeping the anti-aging movement, you know, the baby boomers. Everybody's still trying to stay young and look young and feel young. So we've got a collision of energies with three generations.
Oh, absolutely.
That have blended at this time, which is an incredible time, because there's something for all of us to do. And one thing that you and I talked about in this collision, in you know, like you talk about rock and roll, where we came from, you know, the Led Zeppelin loud, you can't even hear anybody speak.
Yes.
But we were screaming and we were shouting. And I don't know if anybody heard us. And then here we deal with our children's, you know, our young adult age children. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're feeling like nobody's listening to them. And so they're screaming in a different way.
Exactly.
And, in the schools, the malls, people are being shot up. All kinds of things are happening. And what I feel that's absolutely critical and necessary is that we bring the harmony of those worlds back together, which means where we start listening to the creative juices that are flowing through them and, you know, what contribution on a gift level that they'd like to bring to the planet at this time. And also where they're listening to the voice of wisdom, you know, the mm-hmm. age of wisdom of the elders, whether they're our age or a parent's age, and there's a blending of the old and the new, which includes the sacred. You know, that's for mm-hmm. me, That's the spiritual essence of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, when you talked about political, it's not just solving something physically on the planet, you know, better health, better communication, more intellect, more, you know, more knowledge, those kinds of things. But it's a blending of the spiritual nature of why we have these collisions and these purges and the direction they want us to go in to for the betterment of humanity.
You know, Serge, when you know, we talked about a lot about that, you know, when there's a no communication or no clear communication, we are dealing with so much blame. There's no respect. There's a betrayal. There's people don't have a voice. You know, I mean, these are all symptoms that we are actually dealing right now with that.
Yeah, it makes me think about Gay and Katie Hendricks' work about speaking the microscopic truth.
Mm.
And most people are afraid to hear the truth because they think, well, it hurts my feelings, or you don't know my truth, or there's a whole lot of talk about, you know, what is truth, and it's your perception and all kinds of things. But what I know for a certainty is when you make yourself available to really hear somebody's feelings and allow them to express themselves, that moves you instantly out of purge into healing,
mm-hmm.
because it brings in an element of respect for the emotional body, for those feelings that we're feeling. And, you know, by the time we, you know, if we're into the screaming and shouting and the many voices in our heads and, you know, all the stress of life, it is a very difficult thing to sit and just really listen to someone's feelings.
Well, you know, you can actually even not listen because you have so much steam inside of yourself that, you know, you the things that the
feeling
heart
the feeling.
Is full.
Yeah, that's what I'm speaking about, where you're sitting and you're really feeling the feeling. You know, I always say, you know, I can feel a feeling. I can't feel a thought. I can't feel a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what I'm speaking about when I say, you know, when you're really listening, you're feeling someone else's expressions. And that makes us more in the path of healing. And it takes us out of the battle of pain and purge.
You know, as I'm listening, you know, I am just kind of, you know, having this open mind globally, and I'm recognizing if you would actually all give other people more space to speak what they wanted to say, we will not have so much conflict, as much conflict that we are dealing right now in the world. It doesn't matter, actually. You know, it could be personally, you know, in the community or globally. I think all these challenges that we are dealing right now, it's just because everything is so suppressed.
And why do you feel that?
Hmm?
Why
well,
do you,
you
feel
know, the,
that people are having such a difficult time even expressing themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Or suppressing it?
Yeah.
Especially in relationships. You know,
oh,
relationships.
Absolutely.
I've always felt that, you know, when you were married or when you had children or parents, close relatives, relationships were about building community, developing yourself into more wholeness. And what I've come to understand on a higher level recently is that relationships have been used to actually create a lot of disharmony if we are not building solid foundations, and if we're leaving a different part of ourselves out, such as our mind, body, and spirit. When we leave out any one of those elements, our family challenges become greater. We have more of a difficult time being able to be with each other in a way that supports life and the life in us. Is that, do you find that that's your
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sage. Because see, a lot of the time, because, you know, when you are not respected, what you do is, I felt many times is that when I don't felt respected, I just look like, okay, I go into isolation, you know, and this is when I said that, you know, it becomes so frustrating.
Well, you're not alone.
Yes, thank you. Well, this is why I said, you know, I wanted to talk about this, because it becomes so frustrating that, you know, you are, people don't want to listen to you, or you are getting kind of labeled as a crazy person, you know, because then it's much easier. They don't have to deal with you. You know, and so that's where I said, it's just look like, you know, this is not something that, you know, we are dealing individually, we are dealing with this collectively, because, you know, the society on some level is not understanding the challenges that we are facing today. You know, everything is just, you know, I'm just sometimes so sick and tired when it's, oh, everything is positive, everything is hunky-dory, nothing is, you know, nothing is wrong here. Well, okay, that's fine, but, you know, I still wanted to stick to my own emotions, how I feel. It doesn't mean that, you know, I have to keep those emotions, but I have to own them to be able to actually, you know, to create my own, you know, a healthy statement from there on.
Well, I always say the proof is in the pudding. When you look around...
I love your statement. I love your statement.
Thank you. When you look around, most people are getting through the day through addictions. And most people are having a challenge to just feeling their feelings, knowing what they are. So that says a lot about where we are and what isn't happening on a positive level. You know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, it was a lot of, you know, New Age movement about if you think positive, it will happen. If you're being positive, then everything around you is positive. And we're not just dealing with ourselves on this planet. We're dealing with other forces. There are other fields, negative and positive. I love the way the Balinese express it. Like they say, we're living between two worlds, the high spirits and the low spirits. So we are having challenges, not only from a human level, but from, you know, other fields of thought. And so we can think, it's obviously we all want to feel and think and be positive. That's such a beautiful feeling.
That's a human nature.
Exactly, exactly. And just like the emotion, happy. If you were happy 24 hours a day, I don't know what would happen to your brain, you know, and based on certain situations you're in, you know, certain situations don't call for happiness and certain situations don't call for anger or many of the emotions that are expressed. And I think the body with its innate intelligence knows what emotions to create and for us to be with based on where we are and our position and in these fields. So I think what's happening now is there's so many toxins that have been introduced on the planet, and most humans are taking them on as addictions, whether they're sexual or alcohol or drugs or whatever your addiction is, you know, it could be an addiction to just running your mind all the time. You know, could be addiction to twisting your hair. Whatever the addiction is, there's something in it that people are trying to find a soothing factor that connects them back to positive energies. And for me, what I found in my own personal experience is that unless we are connecting to the energies of more of that positive field, we find ourselves constantly struggling with the purges and not wanting to feel the negativity. And so we end up being in the negativity anyway, because we're trying to escape it. And I think it's an incredibly beautiful, energetic time to be in this world, because of the collisions of the world, of the worlds coming together in such a way, as I've been told, where we can now transmutate the negative energies into a more positive experience more rapidly. Through our thinking and consciousness.
You know, when you're actually aware of what's really going on and you engage yourself, that's where you can actually, you know, work with these energies. And when we were talking about, you know, collision between those three generations, and when we are talking about the younger generation, what I'm also recognizing, they do not understand how to manage their own energy.
Do you think that's a lot of what's happening with most humans? Because energy is kind of a new word for this day and age. You know, I've been told now the greatest commodity is energy over money. And if we talked about energy 30 years ago, people would say, what? Even some people now, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean, energy? So it would make perfect sense what you're saying about managing energy. And I think that is exactly what's happening today, that's complicating the way that we're living.
It's that's because the key. Here we are.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the key.
It's such, when we go back to collision. Now imagine that. You don't even understand the concept of energy. And then you're told you're supposed to manage your own energy, and now we have this collision of energy. It's like, what a whirlpool.
Yes.
What a whirlpool. But I think that goes back to the inner teacher and the expressions of the true self nature, where we allow ourselves the time and the expressions and the reality of our true nature, mind, body, and spirit, to become the louder voice, to become the what the ear really listens to versus the external rock and roll screaming and shouting expressions that we went through and nobody heard us anyway and still not listening.
Yeah. Well, as you're saying that, I would actually also like to add, because, you know, I took notes when we had our conversation, that, you know, we also wanted to make sure that our heart is the compass.
Mm.
Remember we were talking about that.
Absolutely.
And also,
and my own healing experience, what I'm finding is that as the mind is expanding in intellect, the heart is closing down more.
Yeah, remember, you know, Sage, you know, look like we said, you know, keep our heart as a compass. And also, I always say to my clients when I'm working with them that, you know, I teach my mind to be a manager and let it know it's not the boss. And you know what? When I do that, my mind behaves because, you know, it has a job.
Yeah. It loves to work hard for you, too.
Exactly.
It does.
But look, like I said, you know, I always allow, you know, my heart is my compass. So it's very difficult when, you know, a lot of people say, you know, do this and da-da-da. It's like, no, this is how I feel.
Well, on a personal level, you know, when you're dealing with the collective, when you say your heart is the compass, how do you help your clients to allow their hearts to become a compass? Because are in your experience with body work, do you find that people are having a hard time being and coming from the heart?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yes, definitely. You know, this is exactly, you know, that talk today about, because, you know, people have an incredible challenge to, you know, to allow themselves to be themselves. Because I feel they're overridden, you know, by work, by the partners, that I have to do this for my partner, blah, 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 and this is what my family is asking for me. But there's no cooperation a lot of time. And so this is when they say, okay, so what can I do? You know?
Do you have any suggestions for people who are trying to be in their heart? Because lots of people are really asking for that and looking for that. But it seems to be one of the most challenging things for people to commit to. So in your
work, absolutely.
With people, yeah,
absolutely.
What are some things that you suggest? And
well,
I'll share
what
some things
I allow
that I
them, it's like, you know, I always say it's a cooperation. If you wanted to have a harmonious relationship, it's a cooperation. If you wanted to have a harmonious family, it's a cooperation. You know, everybody has to have a voice. You know, there's so many things that I agree or disagree. And that can be, you know, on the same thing on the other side. But the question becomes is that, so what can we do so that works for both of us or for all of us? But again, it boils down again to the communication.
Absolutely. Communication and heart-centered. And it's what you say, you know, because we know when the mind becomes the boss, the ego just takes over and the communication goes south. And what I suggest and what I tried to do for myself as well, when we create a balance in our everyday life, not where we're practicing something once a month or once a year, you go to a retreat or you have this spiritual talk or, you know, you engage in something with somebody, but there's a everyday practice of self-nurturing, self-caring, self-heart-centered, where you connect back to the elements of nature. You connect back to your mind, body, and spirit. And it's like you said, there has to be cooperation in relationship. When you have one person that really wants to create and be in balance, and you have somebody else that doesn't, at a certain point in time, you have to come to the reality that, you know, the synergy.
It could be a conflict.
Yes, yes. And you have to decide for yourself where the peace really lies. And that becomes the challenge for most people staying in the heart.
Yes. So, Sage, for tonight, we are having a few more minutes. I would really like you to let our listener know, how they can get in touch with you and connect with your work.
Okay. It's www.powerlivingretreat.com, and also my email is sagegia@gmail.com, and I'm on a lot of the social networks, but that's, as you can tell, my technical difficulties, it's a little bit challenging, but I will respond if you know, if you send me an email, and you can check out my website.
Listen, what is your final thought on this for tonight? Give us a closing.
Well, I think this is a beginning of an incredible journey of relating consciousness and Communication has a lot to do with it, but also heart-centeredness does. And we can only get that by merging the mind, body, and spirit in a way that allows us to be more balanced humans in our relationships. And all relationships don't work. And, you know, the ones that do work are the ones that are trying to create from that space of the heart and by using the elements of the mind-body experience to bring them to more wholeness.
You are so right. And you know what? It's all about cooperation. You know, we have a choice here. We can actually just go stubborn and not, you know, taking anybody in consideration and, you know, get isolated or say, okay, let's step back. You know, how can I, you know, bring a different communication here and see what we can do with that?
And you know, by merging.
Yes.
And it's always about merging the energies.
Mm-hmm. And let's figure out how to master the energies. Because, yeah, you know, it's a whole new way of learning and how to direct that energy. It's, again, it's up to us.
Well, I'm up for the challenge, even Yay! More so.
I know. Well, listen, well, thank you so much for tonight, and I appreciate you being here on the show, even in spite of all these difficulties. Okay,
sure.
Tessage, thank you so much.
Thank you for the communication.
Good night. Good night, everybody. And thank you for the listening. And keep your relationship intact. Night.